God is good, and all the time. I hope you're having fun. We're allowed to have fun in church, aren't we? We're allowed to have fun. If there are any young people who sneaked in at the last minute, mainly my family, do you want to come and sit down in the front? Because we've got beanbags at the front. Come on, gang. Okay, mainly because I need some volunteers for my reading. So I need some volunteers from the front. So can I have some volunteers? Right, so let's have... So you three guys, you come up here. Who else? Jacob, do you want to help? None of the girls? Do you want to come? Sure. We got one there? Brilliant. Okay, so we've got some characters in our reading today. We've got Peter, James and John. I think you three would be brilliant for that. So Peter, James and John need to be recognisable, and I'm sure you'll agree that in the New Testament all the disciples wore hats. So this is Peter, there's James and there's John. Okay? I think that's perfect. Okay, I need Jesus. So actually, Jeremy's going to be Jesus. Jesus obviously likes to wear nice things, so... Jeremy, if you want to pop this rather fetching thing on. There you go, look at that. Okay, can you get in? And then but you also need to put this over the top, so... Stick that over the top. Yeah, there you go. In a minute, I'm going to tell you...
What about my Gordon Roy? It's not sure.
You will do in a minute, that's fine. Okay, I also need... I need Moses and Elijah. Who wants to be Moses and Elijah? You don't have to do anything. All you got to do is stand. Hannah will do it. Come on in, Hannah. Joss? Maisie? Do you want to do it? No? Ali? Do you want to be... Okay, fine. Brilliant. Okay. So, I need Elijah and I need Moses. Now, do you remember that scripture that talks about Moses being a ginger? I'm sure you remember that. Yeah, yeah. So, there you go. So there's...
Stop laughing, you.
So that's that, you're Moses. You're Moses, yeah? Okay, you're Moses. And I need Elijah. Elijah, Hannah, you can be Elijah. Okay, so Elijah was a scouse. There we go. So you need to put that on as well. I need one more. Oh, Helen, you can be part of the cloud. I need one more person. Pippa, all you've got to do is hold onto a sheet. Okay, you'll be all right to do that, won't you? Okay. Right, so I think we're set. Okay, we also need a voice, which lovely Mike is going to give us. So I'm going to read the passage out. So if Elijah and Moses could come over here for a second.
Hello, Mum.
Yeah. In a minute. Okay, so if Jesus, if you could go and lead the disciples just down to the bottom there and then walk towards me when I start, okay? Okay. I'm going to move this out of the way. Okay. Are we ready? So, reading from the Holy Book of Android, right? So the reading is... I'm going to get serious there. The reading is taken from Mark, and it's chapter 9 and verses 2 to 9. So, 6 days later... Jesus took with him Peter, James and John. And he led them... Stop ad-libbing. He led them to a high mountain. Okay, stop there. By themselves. And... Do you stand on there? Okay. And he was transfigured before them. And his clothes became dazzling white, such as no one on earth could bleach them. And there appeared to them Elijah and Moses. If you want to come and stand side by side. Who were talking with Jesus. And then Peter... said to Jesus, "Rabbi, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." He did not know what to say, for they were terrified. Then a cloud overshadowed them. Just hold it in front if you want. That's fine. Yeah, drop it down. That's fine. A cloud overshadowed them. And from the cloud there came a voice.
"This is my son, the beloved. Listen to him."
Suddenly, you do need to leg it. Are they gone? They're ahead of me. Suddenly, when they looked around, they saw no one with them anymore, but only Jesus. Okay. Right, now Jesus, come down. And you can lead the disciples back. And as they were coming down the mountain, he ordered them to tell no one about what they had seen until after the Son of Man had risen from the dead. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Okay. There you go. Okay. Oh, they're back. That's fine. So, I wonder, do you think that next week you will remember that reading? I wonder, do you think the disciples would remember that encounter? What do you think they would have remembered? Guys at the front, what do you think that the disciples would have remembered from that encounter? What happened? What will you remember next week from that? Shining, your shining robe. Yes, exactly. Yeah. What else? What will we remember, adults? The voice. Very good. Yeah. Anything else? Moses and Elijah. Yeah. Disappearing. Yeah. Cloud. Do you know how I know that Peter remembered that moment? How we can all know? Because he wrote it down. And if you look in the New Testament, if you look in 2 Peter, the second letter that Peter wrote, he wrote about that encounter. And he wrote this. He said, "We did not follow clever devised myths." In other words, I didn't make it up. "When we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we have been eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when that voice was conveyed to him by the majestic glory, saying," what was it? "This is my son, my beloved, with whom I am well pleased." And he repeats the words, "We ourselves heard this voice come from heaven while we were with him on the holy mountain." And all those things that we will remember from that sketch, Peter remembered. He would have remembered. He would have remembered the voice. Where else would he have heard that voice before? Jesus' baptism, exactly. A reminder of the voice of God speaking to him. I wonder what the cloud would have reminded him of. Remember in the Old Testament, with the Israelites walking through the desert, the wilderness, having been freed from Egypt, but the cloud was leading them the way. But also, when they were camping, there was a tent that they would erect outside the camp. And the cloud, the presence of God, would come down and Moses would go in and speak to God in that place. What about the bright light, the shining light? I wonder what that would have reminded them of. Maybe the creation. Maybe the passage we had last Sunday, the Word. In the beginning was the Word and the light coming into the world. I wonder what the significance of the mountain would have been to them. It's that place of being apart from the world, a place where God spoke. God spoke to Moses when he gave Moses the Ten Commandments. So all of these images and symbols would have been layered upon layer upon layer, would have been in the minds of the disciples and Peter when they would have recalled that moment. All signs of God speaking to his people. What about Moses and Elijah, though? You know, that funny ginger guy and the scouser. Well, I wonder if, well, in fact, Helen was great at setting me up, because what can you remember about Moses and Elijah from the quiz that we did? They're both dead. So he said. Fair enough. Well, actually, Elijah didn't die. Elijah just went to heaven. Both of them had encounters with God, and both of them spoke to God, had incredible encounters with God. Moses actually says to God in Exodus, he says, "Show me your glory, I pray." And Helen reminded us of the story when God hides in a crack in a rock. And actually, he didn't, but anyway. He hides in a crack in a rock, and the glory of God goes past. And God says, "You can see a bit of me. You're not going to be able to cope with the whole of me, but I'll go past. And then when I've gone past, I'll let you know. And you can just gaze at the back of me." And God revealed himself to Moses on that mountain. And also, as I've already said, there was a tent that Moses would put outside of the camp when the Egyptians camped. Sorry, the Israelites camped. And Moses would go to this tent to talk to God. It was his prayer space. And a cloud would come down and cover it. Moses spoke to God. And it says this: "Now Moses used to take the tent and pitch it outside the camp, far off, and he called it the tent of meeting. When Moses entered the tent, the pillar of cloud would descend and stand at the entrance of the tent, and the Lord would speak with Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." How incredible to speak to God face to face. And Elijah had a very similar encounter, and Helen did mention this one, where he's on a mountaintop and there's a great wind and then an earthquake and a fire. But it says the Lord was not in the wind, the earthquake or the fire, but after the fire was sheer silence. And when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face and went out and stood at the entrance of the cave and spoke to God. So let's go back to the disciples and their encounter with Jesus. We call this encounter the transfiguration. Does anyone down here know what the transfiguration means? Does anyone know what transfiguration means? Do you know what a transformer is? Go on then. Changing from one thing into another thing. Yeah, brilliant, that's it. So you know what transformers are? Optimus Prime. Yeah, Autobots and the Decepticons. For the adults, they're alien robots that disguise themselves as vehicles. Obviously. Okay? So, the point is they change from one thing into another. Transformer transforms, changes. If you've ever watched the Harry Potter films, yes? What does Professor McGonagall do? What's her trick? She changes into a... Yep, specifically it's a cat most of the time, isn't it? She's the one who turns into a cat. That spell, if I'm allowed to say that word in church, that spell is called a transfiguration. It's transfiguration, that's where they get it from. Okay. But she teaches transfiguration spells, doesn't she? Let's not go too much into the world of Harry Potter. I might be thrown out. But in our passage, Jesus changes as well. Pharamie started off with his sort of cloak on, and which he then dropped quite quickly to reveal his gorgeous golden appearance. And Jesus transforms. He changes his appearance. And he changes from the man that they thought they knew, this man, this carpenter, and they see God. They see God. They see what Moses and Elijah longed to see. See, the Old Testament suggested that no man can see God, although Moses caught a glimpse and so did Elijah. But we can't say that anymore, can we? We can't say that we can't see God because Jesus was revealed as God at this very moment and quite a number of other occasions. And Jesus forever was going around saying, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. We're in this privileged position that we're beyond Jesus coming. And we can see God because we can see Jesus. Now, we can't see Jesus now, but we can pray that God will reveal himself to us in a similar way. So what if we want to see God? What if we wanted to see God like Moses? Or what if we wanted to hear God's voice like Elijah? Is that possible? Is it possible, you think, that we could see God? Well, we hear about God's work all the time, don't we? We have testimonies in church. We hear about what God is doing. And we often hear from people, even within church, during services, that they've heard God speaking. Maybe not audibly, sometimes audibly, but sometimes through his word, sometimes through a picture or an image. God is at work and we hear about what he's doing. But also, we all pray every day this prayer, don't we? We pray, Our Father, and we say, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. Not in the future, not at some point when we all die, on earth as it is in heaven. Today, we're praying for that every day, that God would reveal himself to us. And that's what we do in prayer, and that's why prayer is important. That every time we pray, we're asking God to reveal himself to us, to speak to us. So we're going to turn to prayer now. That's what we're going to do. We're going to ask God to show himself to us. Because it's through prayer that God reveals himself to us. Even Jesus prayed every day. Jesus took himself up a mountain, took himself somewhere else. And in fact, on this occasion that we've just seen, if you read it again, Jesus is praying alone before this moment that the Father reveals himself to him, just before his face changes and he glorifies God. So let's turn to prayer now. I think Helen's going to do that for us.